Good afternoon, Professor Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon to you. How's it going there, Johnny?
It's good.
That was Johnny. Well done.
Sometimes I can recognize the voice.
Top score, top scores there. Are you in public transport at the moment, Peter?
I certainly am on a bus about to mount the Harbour Bridge, so there we are.
There you go. We've all got top-notch ears today. That's good. That's good.
Most impressive. So does the name GasCon mean anything to you?
Is it this pretty much the same as DEFCON, but a different kind of alarm?
Yes. So GasCon is the Global Anglican. Now I run out of letters to work it out.
Oh, it's a meet and greet.
So yeah, so it's an organisation of Anglicans, but it's the other parts of letters that are important because they're faithful and orthodox and conservative, and so it's an explicit grouping of Anglicans. Organized since the Anglican church began to get soft on gay people, basically, and soft on women. And it's just concluded in Jerusalem an enormous conference yesterday, which had, as far as I can see, 1,900 people attending. And there's a big photograph of them on the web in front of, well, some wall or other. I don't think it's the way of the wall, but it's some part of the wall of Jerusalem. And it's pretty significant for the future of Anglicanism, I think.
Okay.
You'll know that Anglicanism is one of those sort of mainstream denominations, so-called, which are in a kind of rough place because they're hit by every force that sort of modern Protestantism is hit by, conservative and liberal. And so this group are basically backing secession from the mainstream Anglican Church. So they organise, they come from the central office is in Sydney, where the Archbishop of Sydney runs this the show overall. And they have organised the Church of Uganda to ordain bishops to run alternative Anglican networks throughout the world. And so there's now a set of bishops of the Church of Uganda running renegade Anglican congregations in America.
Ooh,
and the interesting
sticky
question for us is, has this meeting authorized the ordination of an alternative Anglican bishop for New Zealand?
What does a renegade Anglican group look like, Peter?
So you'll know.
Renegade Anglicans will be conservative Anglicans, probably evangelical Anglicans, who hold to a very traditional Protestant view of the faith and who are firmly opposed to the ordination of gay people. And they issued a statement back in April, shortly after, I think we talked about the General Synod of the Anglican Church allowing same-sex blessing, saying that they would support any Anglican congregation that could not accept this decision. And it seems as though discussions are going on right now, especially in Christchurch, for various congregations. They're talking about, should we secede from the wicked Anglican Church of New Zealand?
Oh, really?
And that could take out, in Christchurch, there's probably out of a 5,000 active Anglicans in the Christchurch area, there's probably about 40% are considering secession. Now, it won't be as high in Auckland, but it's possible that there could be congregations in Auckland that would secede. So this is pretty alarming, I think, for the church, for the Anglican Church in New Zealand, which has thought it has found a nice in-between way to keep everybody happy. And it looks as though that GasCon is adding fuel to the fire of encouraging secessions.
Okay, so it's just going to, do you think it'll just weaken the Anglican Church in New Zealand?
Yes,
on the whole?
How strong is it? What are the numbers like at the moment?
Well, the key thing is that it's the large conservative congregations that are likely to go. So that in Christchurch, there's two churches, St. John's Latimer Square and St. Stephen's and Shirley, which together probably have about 1,000 people in these two congregations. So they represent 20% of all Christchurch Anglicans who are likely to decide to leave. And so they'll seek for an alternative Anglican bishop to look after them. They'll stop paying their money to the Anglican Church in New Zealand, and instead, if there's any money to pay, they'll pay it to Uganda, if you like, to get a bishop from Uganda to look after them. So it's a very significant thing for Anglicanism, which is struggling anyway, to have to find some way, you know, to survive with a significant loss of following.
It just—it seems like a very unusual thing to do, given the fact that we are relatively open and, I guess, somewhat secular in New Zealand. That they would all sort of branch off and become a bit more conservative.
Yes, indeed. But you must understand that there is a pretty strong move in New Zealand now. By the way, just listening for whether I die crossing the road here.
I wondered, it sounded like you were getting forced out the airlock for a second.
Yes. Right, I think I'm safely across in one piece, so now I can just stand still and talk to you. maybe go in the middle of Victoria Park and talk. So what it looks... what I think is important to understand, that most of the Protestant denominations have got strong and vocal minorities who say that going soft on gay people is anti-Bible, anti-God, etc. And there's a considerable potential for schism. I think most people won't want to, because you see, if Anglicans in Auckland were to secede, they'd have to leave their churches.
Well, that's interesting, actually. We've got a text related to that, Peter. Someone's asking, what happens to the Anglican church-owned properties if some churches secede?
Yes, so the property is clearly owned by the General Trust Board,
right,
and it would have to be surrendered. Mm. So there's a congregation which I'm thinking might well secede. But on the other hand, they've got quite a fine modern church. Would they want to give it up and find the $2 or $3 million necessary to build a new church? Mm. But you see, in Christchurch, so many churches were levelled by the earthquake.
Right.
And so lots of congregations don't have churches at the moment. They're saving money to build. But if they've been cunning and saved it in separate funds rather than depositing in the general diocesan coffers, they might have money that would make it reasonably easy to secede. And so that's probably a factor why Christchurch might have a significant secession.
Mm. So some people have been playing quite a long game, and it has been, I don't know what the correct thing to say is, but maybe festering along or festering away for quite a while.
Great word, John.
Yeah, but then you see the game of Anglicans coming to terms with gay people has been a very, very slow, long process, you know, which goes back more than 20 years. So there's a long, long history on both sides. And in a way, both have just become more and more rigid in their positions.
Yeah.
And the overall Anglican Church has tried to find a sort of a middle road that won't offend anybody.
Yes.
And of course, at the end result, it's offended everybody.
Yeah. Classic churchness.
Well, classic old politics isn't a problem.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, Peter. Well, very interesting. We'll see. Watch the space and see what happens.
Yeah, well, I'll keep you posted on if anybody does succeed. I've been searching, but I don't think anybody's pulled out yet, because all the key players have been having their Jerusalem holidays. So,
Pete, do you think that the new churches will be called the Renegade Anglicans?
No, they'll be called
the Anglican Rebellion.
No, because you see, they believe that it's the mainstream that's in rebellion.
Yeah. I wonder if there should be a really nice garage sale, some stuff, some really nice furniture and stuff.
Yes, well, that's true.
Thanks, Peter. We'll catch up next week.
Excellent. Bye.
Cheers, mate.
Oh,